Hello, Joseph Daly. How in the musical world are you?
I am doing fine. Staying quite busy, working on a bunch of projects, music composition, performance. I'm really well.
And musically falling forward, could we say?
Oh, yeah, musically falling forward. You know, I'm trying, you know, new things, experimenting, taking advantage of opportunities that I worked on for many, many years. And I'm looking forward to bringing my trio into Fort Wayne. Hope everybody comes out to check it out. It should be a very, very interesting evening of music.
You know, it will be. So when did your musical passion begin? Were you born with music in your blood, do you reckon?
Well, my grandfather was a musician in Munsterett. My family's originally from the British West Indies. He was mainly what they call a wedding musician. He would play for weddings and special functions. But I was not aware of that until much later. When I was young, you know, loved music and danced around a bunch and everything. But what kind of turned me into the direction of actually becoming a performer is that my elementary school began a band program when I was in fifth grade, and my mother signed me up immediately. And when I got in that program, the band director put me on trombone, and, you know, I just took to the instrument naturally.
That's a wonderfully happy story, then, and that's how you got your bug about the whole thing?
Yeah, well, not only are you experiencing the sound of the instrument you're making and learning the techniques of the instrument that you're playing, but you're also watching all your classmates learn how to play their instruments at the same time. I found music to be very, very intriguing that way. So I began on trombone, and then when I moved into the junior high school band, this was on the Lower East Side of Manhattan in New York City, we had a tremendous band director, Howard Spocknick. He had a 100-piece junior high school band.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so I entered that program playing trombone initially, and you got to realize that band directors, you know, the words that come out of their mouth are like words from God, because these guys could transform students into amazing performers. So when he said that he wanted me to switch to tuba, you know, it was a done deal. So I moved over to tuba, and then that sound of that low instrument, I mean, the trombone was nice and I was doing well. I was even playing first trombone in the band at that time. But when I sat down and played the tuba, the resonance of that sound really struck an inner part of my soul that the trombone never struck.
It sounds like then that is totally what hooked you on that low horn sound.
Yeah, that's what got me started on it, you know, and because that sound resonated with me so much, I spent hours and hours just working on the instrument, and I became very, very proficient on it at a very, very early age.
Amen to that one. In the meantime, have you ever met a horn you didn't like?
I find a way to accept and like everything. So, no, I haven't met a horn, you know. I mean, it's an instrument that I particularly do not like to hear. No. So I relate the instrument not only to the sound of the instrument and the way it works within the orchestral ensemble, but, you know, to the friends that I made that play those similar instruments. And it goes up to this very, very day.
Wow. What a rich connection then you have with sound and music, every part of it.
Yeah, well, sound and music to me is life because my life, you know, revolves around that. Ever since fifth grade, my life was surrounded with sound. And most of the people that I associated with or acquainted with were people that played instruments and loved the music that I did.
What a lovely childhood.
Oh, yeah, I had great parents. I had amazing school experiences because after I began the tuba, in New York City at that time, they had what they call the All-City Orchestra and the All-Borough Orchestra and the All-Borough Band and the All-City Band on the junior high school level. So I was able to get into the All-Borough Band a few months later, and that's all the finest students in Manhattan would come together on Saturdays and rehearse. So I was a member of that ensemble almost immediately and then progressed to the All-City Band as I progressed to junior high school. And then I auditioned for a school in New York called Music and Art High School. A lot of people are familiar with it from that movie Fame. That's the type of environment that I went into in high school. I went into a performing arts high school where the emphasis was on performance. But the academics were very stringent, too. And I really progressed, and I moved into what they call the All-City Orchestra. And the All-City Orchestra was the best students in New York that all came together on the high school level. And we played some pretty intense repertoire. So I became very proficient at playing my instrument, but I was also surrounded all the time by other people that played instruments as well as I did or better. So you always knew that no matter how well you played, there would be someone that, you know, either played better or someone that you can emulate to become a musician, you know.
You kind of were in the perfect spot for you. Did you realize that you had a gift for it back then, or were you just going by your guts and your soul and making that music?
I realized that I had a love for music. Sitting in a band and playing in a band or orchestra or just playing instrument by myself, you know, I just had a deep love for music, and that deep love for music is what drove me. You know, just being able to sit in these ensembles and hear this beautiful music surrounding me and being part of that. The fact that I have a gift for music, you know, that came much later. You know, I jumped in, I loved it, I loved what I was doing. My main reason for coming to school every day was to be in the band class or ensemble class and do that type of thing, that activity. And in order to do that activity, I knew I would have to also be a good student in my other classes. So that kind of drove my other classes at the same time.
Perfect motivation. Where does composing fit into your musical makeup?
Well, you know, I was building up to that all the way back from elementary school. Not only was I sitting there listening to what I was doing, I was surrounded by other students that played other instruments. That went all the way into junior high school, into high school. And after sitting around all those instruments, especially a 100-piece concert band, and you know the sound of these instruments, but you also know that's my friend Sam that's playing the drums. That's my friend Andrew on the saxophone. And so, you know, you kind of relate their personalities to the sound of their instruments and everything. And my love for music is that, let's say we're playing like a particularly beautiful piece of music, like, you know, Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony or something really, really profound like that. That kind of moves you to a point where, with me, I wanted to be able to recreate that in my own voice. So that's how the composition element came in, just being surrounded by music all the time, orchestral music and band music and jazz and all of these things. And then at one point you say, well, this stuff really moves me so much that I want to be able to compose or construct music of the same sort so I can move other people. Or the other way to look at it is that I want to be able to express myself past playing as a performer. I wanted it to be a position where I could express the way I feel about music to other musicians. And the way you do that is through music composition. You begin to compose. I attended Manhattan School of Music. That's when I really began to develop myself. I wasn't part of the composition department, part of the brass department, but I began to develop myself as a composer mainly because, you know, I would put together the music and organize and everything. And since all my friends were there, I said, listen, I just wrote a piece for like five, you know, five this and five six that and six of these and six of that. Because all you guys come into, and then the school was, you know, was very, very generous with me. Because I could just go and take a room that was not occupied, get all my friends in there, put out the music, and have them play it. And then I would listen to it. And that's the way you become a great composer. That's the way you learn, oh, that didn't work, this worked, this didn't work, this didn't work. Oh, don't ever do that again. You know, so you begin to eliminate the things that are the problematic, and then you begin to find, you know, things that work in a compositional, orchestral, textorial way, and you develop your skills as a composer. And then when you get to a certain level where you know that the stuff that you're writing is working, then that's when you go to the next level where you begin to say, okay, I know this works, but what if I kind of switch it up a little bit? And then you begin to move into more advanced musical techniques and concepts because you have your foundation built.
Okay, Joseph, where in the world perspective do you think you and your music fit?
What I do, you know, is a very, very eclectic mix of music and performance. It's not really grounded or based in just one tradition. It may start in that tradition, but before the set is out, we're off someplace else. It's stuff that you know, definitely will not hear on the radio. A lot of people call what I do avant-garde and all that stuff. Those labels are mainly for other people's convenience, so they can put you in a box. So when they're ready to sell you as a commodity, they say, well, this is avant-garde and that. So you go in this box and put him in the CD category under avant-garde. But, you know, if you do come to the performance, and I hope that everyone does come, sit there with an open mind and listen to what's going on without trying to put a label on it before the performance is over.
I think they just have to hold on to their seats and their hats because you're going to take us around the world of wonderful music.
I'm going to bring in, you know, cultural influences that I respect and have learned and worked on for many, many years. And it's going to be a very, very interesting evening. And then also the instrumentation that we use. First of all, you very rarely go out and see a band leader that plays tuba. The tuba is capable of just about anything a trumpet is capable of doing. And the tuba is the root of all jazz. If you spend a week in New Orleans, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. The brass tuba is the root that holds all of New Orleans music together. And the tuba is the original bass instrument in jazz. So it should have its own category and its own prominence. I came into a rich legacy of what people call jazz. So besides being a performer, a composer, and educator, I also have to cultivate communities of understanding of the music. So we're going to do a meet and greet so people can sit and talk about what they perceive that I do. And me, Warren, and Scott Robinson, my other two members of my trio, we'll try to explain to them exactly what we do to the best of our ability and what they're going to hear and why we do what we do. That's important.
Okay, Joseph, what motivated you to add Fort Wayne to your list of stops on this tour?
One of the reasons that I really wanted to come and do this in Fort Wayne with K2, because he's a grassroots type person. You know, he's a person that loves the music, and he's doing it with very limited resources, but intense desire to bring the music into the community that he's in. You know, I had to do that. I have to be there because musicians like myself, we can't be sitting up on the stage like we're some type of, you know, icons of greatness. We need to cultivate this in many more communities. Otherwise, the music eventually is going to die out, because if you just have performance and no listeners, I mean, how far can you really get?
You have been a sweetheart sharing your time with us, Joseph. Really, thank you ever so much, and look forward to it. Cannot wait.
Yeah, well, me neither. It's going to be a great one.
Thank you.
That was WBOI's Julia Meek speaking by phone with musician, educator, and composer Joseph Daly. The music you're hearing is Terrarium from the Tuba Trio Chronicles. You can hear more of Julia Meek's arts and culture coverage on 89.1 WBOI. Thank you.
Thank you.